Good morning. Please turn to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, page number 902. Page number 902. Hosea chapter 6, verses, our study would focus on verses 1 or 2, but we will read verses 1 through 3 as well. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. God may add his blessing to the reading and listening of this eternal word. The Bible is the book of invitations. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. In that verse, God invites Noah and his family to come to the ark for salvation from the flood. The last invitation is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. In that verse, John issues an invitation for the Lord to return quickly. Between these two, many more invitations are found throughout the Bible. In our text, the prophet Hosea calls out to the people of Israel that they have wandered away from the God, from the Lord, and he issues a call for them to come back to the Lord, their God. It is a call for both personal and national revival. Israel had forsaken the way of the Lord and had turned away from him to worship the idols and false gods of the Canaanites. This invitation is a call for them to repent of their sins and turn their hearts back to the one true God. While these verses or this text were written to the people who lived about 2,500 years ago, but these texts still have a message that speaks to our need today. Just like ancient Israel, America needs a revival, as well as every country. But West needs a revival. People of this country have drifted far away from its religious roots. This country has given itself over to the sin and evil of every description. The horror of abortion, abomination of sodomite marriage, the extensive race in sin. People are miles away from their Lord and need to find a place of repentance and redemption. America needs revival. She needs to be pulled back from the brink of disaster, but before there will ever be national revival in America, there must be a revival within the churches in America. And before there will be a revival in the churches, there must be a revival in the hearts of individual believers. Today's passage is a call for the people of God to humble themselves before God to seek His face for forgiveness and restoration. It is, in essence, an invitation to repentance. Repentance or contrition is a word we do not hear very often today. This word describes people who are brokenhearted that they have wronged their God. It is a state of heart that God will honor as well. It is described in Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And again in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. I think this passage and this message is one that we need to hear today. We are living in a time when there is very little contrition and sorrow over sin. People, even church people, can live any old way and never feel any remorse over their waywardness. I want to show you three ways how God reaches out to those who are far away from Him. The first one is found in verse 1. Especially verse A, the first part of verse A. God's plea to a wanton people. If my accent for wanton is not maybe American, I will give you the spelling. W-A-N-T-O-N. The word wanton comes from an old English word that means to be undisciplined, without provocation or reason, sexually lawless, extravagant living. The people of Israel had every reason to honor their God. Yet for no reason, they had abandoned Him and turned to follow other gods. They were wanton people. They were undisciplined people. They were lawless people. They had no discipline in their spiritual lives. The phrase in our text, "let us return," implies that a closer relationship than the current relationship once existed. That's why the prophet is saying, let us return. Or the people of Israel, they are saying, let us return. There had been a time in Israel's past when they were closer to the Lord than they were now. There had been a time when they followed God's law, sought His face, and honored Him above all other things. But now, they are far away from Him. They have allowed their relationship to grow cold. Their love for Him is not as strong as it used to be. They had become wayward, wicked people. And their condition is clearly laid out in Hosea chapter 6 and 7. In the immediate context. Their current condition is very clear in chapter 6 and 7. And we are going to see six metaphors and example of their current condition. We can find their six metaphors of their current condition. The first one is found in the same chapter, chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. Where the people of Israel, they are like the morning cloud and the early dew. They are described as the morning cloud and early dew. The people of God were like morning cloud and early dew. How? Because their devotion to God was like the early morning dew that sparkles like the millions of jewels under the gleam of the sun, but soon burns away. And their devotion to God was shallow and temporary. They talked about getting right with God, but their repentance and devotion was momentary. It was just temporary. The second metaphor of Israel's current condition is found in next chapter, chapter 7, verse 7, where they are called a heated oven. Israel is called a heated oven. Like an oven heated to its maximum temperature during the night so that it would be ready for the baker in the morning. Israel burned with a passion for sin. They burned with a passion for sin. The use of words in the same chapter, chapter 7, verse 3, 4, and 5, there are three words, they clearly confirms their passion for sin. For example, chapter 7, verse 3, there's the word wickedness. And in verse 4, we can find the word adulteress. And in verse 5, there's the word wine. And these words confirm their passion for sin. They should have had a passion for things of God, but they loved their sins for more than they loved their God. The third metaphor is found in verse 8, chapter 7, verse 8, where Israel is called a half-baked cake. Israel is called half-baked cake. As you know, people of even in many parts, the very remote areas of my own country, and especially that time, Hosea's time, the people of that time cooked their bread on heated rods. And a cake not turned would burn on the one side and be raw on the other. And maybe many housewives and many people maybe have experienced many ways. I never had that because I never baked. My wife loved to bake. A cake not turned would burn on the one side and be raw on the other. Israel was burned on her earthly side through sin and compromise with the enemies of God. They were burned on their earthly side through the sin and compromise with the heathen nations. Yet toward the Lord, they were cold and uncooked. They were guilty of compromise because God wants our whole body, soul, and spirit to be dedicated to Him. The fourth metaphor is found in verses 9 and 10, the chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. In these two verses, Israel is described as a man whose strength is gone out. A man whose strength has gone out. And he's unaware of that time and age, that time. And it is very dangerous. Israel has lost their power with the Lord, and it is more dangerous when you are not even aware of that. They have lost their power with the Lord, and they aren't even aware of it. Like Samson, they might not that the Lord was departed from them. They didn't know. They don't care. They are not aware of that. Fifth metaphor is found in next two verses, the same chapter, next two verses 11 and 12. In these two verses, Israel, God's people, they are like a silly dove. They are described as a silly dove. A prisoner from Kansas was released from prison after serving 7 years for fraud. Upon his release, he immediately acquired someone's credit card and went on spending spree that took him across the state in first-class hotels, restaurants, and private planes. He was caught and brought to trial again. In court, he confessed what he has done. And he asked the judge to pardon on the basis that now he has learned his lesson. Imagine what was the judge's response. And he asked, "I will never do anything like this again." But the judge was unimpressed. He was unimpressed. Why? And judge said, "I have also learned that courtroom confessions last only until the criminal gets to the door." Then he committed the man to prison again. He was put in prison again. God's people were and are like that person. Instead of looking to the Lord and trusting Him, they flew to Egypt for help, and then they flew to Assyria again and again. But they did not listen to the Lord and His prophets. They should know that these nations have failed them. Egypt and Assyria have failed God's people. But they disobeyed God by making covenants with heathen nations like a silly dove. The last metaphor is found in verse 16 of the same chapter, where Israel is like a deceitful bull. God's people are described as a deceitful bull. That means they cannot be trusted to serve the Lord and remain faithful to Him. They had been given His law and they had received His training. They should have been able to walk with the Lord in holiness, yet they were indecisive people. They never decided. They never followed. They were never constantly faithful to the Lord. This was the condition of Israel, God's people, long ago, you may say. But it is today as well. As we look at them, let us not fail to look at ourselves. How many in this very room can remember a day when you were closer to the Lord than you are today? Can you remember a day when the things of the Lord were more precious to you than they are now? Can you remember a time when His house, His word, His business, and time spent with Him thrilled your soul for more than you do now? We have seen those six descriptive phrases or metaphors God used to describe the condition of Israel. Can you see parallels within your own life? Is your devotion to God shallow? Do you have a greater passion for sin than you do the things of God? Have you compromised with the world? Have you lost your power with the Lord? Are you like a silly dog, flying here and there, looking for the help in every way but the Lord. Are you like a deceitful ball that cannot be trusted to hit the target of righteousness and faithful living? If you find yourself in that condition today, you know you are not where you needed to be with the Lord. Like the people in the church in Ephesus, you have left your first love, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. You may be going through the motions, but your heart is not aflame with the passionate love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God. If you have allowed your soul to drift away from God, and this is His call to you to come back to Him. The second way God reaches out to those who are far away from Him is found in the second part of verse 1. We can see there we saw God's plea to a wanton people, and the second point is God's plan for wayward people. God's plan for wayward people. The reason Israel is interested in returning to the Lord is found in two words in verse 1. And those words are torn and wounded or smitten. Smitten means to strike, to beat, to hit, to slay or kill, to attack or destroy. These words describe what Israel had been going through at the hand of God, which is clear from the context of our text, chapters 4 and 5. For example, Hosea chapter 4 verses 1 to 3 indicate that sin had become a way of life for the people of Israel. It had become a way of life. And Hosea chapter 4 verses 3 to 10 tell that God will judge Israel for their sins against Him. He will bring harsh chastisement upon them because they have refused to walk His ways. And again, in Hosea chapter 5 verses 14 and 15, describe that the Lord is like a lion that comes upon the wayward people to tear them and punish them for what they have done. I'll read that verse for you. Hosea chapter 5 verse 14. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear to pieces and go away. I will carry away, and there will be none to deliver. Then after inflicting judgment, the Lord will withdraw His presence from them to wait God's people to come or seek His face or come back to God, their God. It is clear from these verses that Israel is going to pay a terrible price for their sinful ways. Just as surely as the Lord brought harsh chastisement or judgment upon the nation of Israel for their disobedience, He will do the same to those who are saved but who refuse to walk in His ways. He can do. The Bible is very clear. The Lord will bring chastisement into the lives of all those who try to walk away from Him. Revelation chapter 3 verse 19. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 through 12. And Proverbs chapter 3 verses 11 and 12. Therefore, you are deceiving no one but yourself when you think you can turn back on the Lord and get away with it. We are deceiving ourselves. There is a price to be paid. There is a price to pay for disobedience. The painful effects of chastisement can be clearly seen in the lives of many of the people in the Bible or people of God. Consider David. His sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11 brought the chastisement of God into David's life and his family. For how many times? For many, many, many years. We need to understand this truth. No one ever gets away with sin. That when we allow sin to grow in our lives, we are inviting God. We are inviting God to chastise us. And God will use whatever means He finds necessary to get our attention. There are families that have suffered financial ruin, maybe, have endured sickness and death. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because someone refused to make things right with the God, it's very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. God knows how to get our attention. He will do whatever He wants to do to get us back to Himself. So repent. Get back to God. Seek His face. The third way God reaches out to those who are far away Him is found in the last part of verse 1 and verse 2. And this is not a religious formula that if we act in a certain way, then God is obligated to respond to us in a certain manner. These verses are not religious formula. There is a ray of hope here for those who have allowed sin to come between them and the Lord, as John Calvin in his commentary on Hosea said that the Israelites, after having been subdued by chastisement and judgment, would again turn back from following error to the Lord, to seek God. For by the word torn, in verse 1, the prophet alludes to that heavy judgment of which he had before spoken in the person of God. The Lord then made Himself to be like a cruel beast, lion. Though God should deal very sharply with them, they were not yet to despise of pardon. As terror drives men away from approaching God, so many people say, Hosea now adds that the measure of affliction would not be such as would discourage their minds and produce despair. So God, as a lion or wild beast, should not despair us. That is for our own benefit. Yet as His proper office, the proper office of the God, is to heal after He has torn, to bind the wounds He has inflicted, there's no reason, dear brothers and sisters, why we should shun His presence. We see that the design of prophet's words was to show that no chastisement is so severe that it ought to break down our spirits, but that we ought, by entertaining hope, serve God and come back to Him. And it may stir up ourselves to repentance. If we would return to Him, God would minister to us personally. He would meet our needs quickly and he would restore us to the place of help and blessing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what should we do then? What should we do? The answer is obvious. We should repent of sin and turn to God as He reveals Himself to reveals Himself in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And providentially, we have an example of what such repentance ought to be at the end of the book of Hosea. God has provided us an example. Providentially, we have an example of what such repentance ought to be at the end of the book of Hosea, chapters 14, verses 1, 2, and 4. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to Him, take away all guilt except that which is good, and we will offer the fruit of our lips. Verse 4, I will heal their disloyalty. God is promising. I will heal their disloyalty. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. That is the secret. Heed God's word and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. First, confess sin. And secondly, appeal to God on the basis of His abundant grace. And it is the same truth revealed in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we do not have any sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. Let us pray. Merciful God, we have sinned in our thoughts and deeds. We have sinned what we have done. And in the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance. We have sinned in weakness. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly regret for what we have done. Now, O Lord, we repent and turn to You. Forgive us for the sake of our Savior Christ Jesus, and renew our lives to the glory of Your name. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.